Chapter 19. Jackson isn't in school until after lunch the next day, and his sullen look has progressed into one that's practically rage. He can't even look at Stiles without obviously becoming homicidal. Derek stays pressed extremely close to Stiles all day. Even worse, Harris has taken to following him around again. He seems to think that Stiles and Derek won't dare try anything while the lawsuit is being considered. The worst part is that he's right. Every time Stiles turns around, he sees the jerk's smiling face. After school, they go down to the clinic. Scott has called ahead to make sure that Deaton will be available, and he's cleared some time off his schedule. He typically reserves Friday for surgeries or procedures, and so there aren't many regular appointments. Allison goes with them, because Scott wants moral support. "So, we've been talking to Stone," Scott says, obviously anxious. "Stiles did a little research, and I guess this debt you owe him? It's because you two were trying to do some spell to unlock your inner power, right? But it didn't work." Deaton sighs and nods. "We were young. It seemed like a good idea. It wasn't." "Okay, but we figured that you think the reason the spell didn't work is because you didn't have enough belief, right? That you had doubts at the last minute." When Deaton nods again, Scott says, "But that's not what happened. Stone knew it wouldn't work. He sabotaged it on purpose so he could save you and put you in his debt." There's a long pause. Deaton lets out a slow sigh. "If only that surprised me." "He admitted this?" Scott squirms uncomfortably. "Well, not in so many words, but he definitely didn't deny it when Stiles said it." Deaton folds his hands in front of himself. Then he nods. "Thank you for telling me, but I can't help but assume you had a reason why." "Stone told us that you have something that he wants," Scott says. "We were hoping you would tell us what it is." "I'm sorry," Deaton says. "I can't tell you that." Scott looks at Stiles, not sure where they should go from here. Stiles takes a deep breath and swallows his frustration. "Look," he says, "we know that you cared for this guy, that he was like a brother to you. But the guy you're trying to protect, he doesn't exist anymore, if he ever did. He's given himself over to the black magic, and there's no coming back from that once you've gone that far. He did it voluntarily. He made that choice, and he knew the consequences. You're living proof that it didn't have to be that way. You don't owe him anything." "Even if Sebastian sabotaged the spell, I did have doubts," Deaton says. "So the spell would have backfired regardless of what he did." "Does that even matter?" Stiles asks. "I mean, I don't think that's how debt works. I could put a gun to your head, but then decide not to shoot you. Do you owe me for that?" "Hell no! You can't give people points just for deciding not to shoot you." Deaton shakes his head quietly. "I don't owe Sebastian because he saved my life. I owe him because he saved my soul. Because I saw what he was becoming. And that's why I was able to pull myself back from the edge. For 20 years, every time I've been tempted, I saw the look on his face after that spell failed. And for 20 years, I've been able to resist the temptation." "Did it ever occur to you that maybe you were able to do that because of your own strength?" Scott asks. "Not because Stone took the wrong road?" "It has," Deaton says, and smiles slightly. "But I know better." "So long as he's out there being bad, you're able to keep being good," Stiles says. His tone is disgusted. He can't help it. He feels so disappointed. "Well, doesn't that just suck for everyone that he hurts? You are so busy being a paragon of virtue on your own time that you won't help us stop him." For the first time, Deaton looks angry. "You don't know how hard it is to—" "I don't care how hard it is," Stiles shouts, finally losing his temper. "We all have our goddamn crosses to bear. I have a pack to protect. The plain fact of the matter is that if your choice is to protect Stone rather than to help me protect my pack, then you're my enemy just like he is. Do you think that I haven't noticed that both times we approached him on his turf, he was ready for us? And the only person not in the pack to know where we were going was you? Did you tip him off? Did you warn him that we were coming? Jesus, Deaton, I want to trust you. I do. Because Derek's parents trusted you and Scott trusts you. But I fucking don't. And you sure as hell aren't making me want to. And I will find out what you took from him and what you're hiding, because that's what I do. He can't even handle it anymore. He turns and stalks out of the room. Derek follows him. Stiles can hear Scott awkwardly apologizing behind him, but he doesn't care as long as Scott comes with him, which he does. Allison quietly closes the door to the clinic behind them and waits until they're all in the car. "Now what?" she asks. "There's only one thing Deaton can have that Stone would want," Stiles says. "Stone burns everything he leaves behind. Deaton must have something that once belonged to him. Something that would be magically powerful."
"That could be anything," Derek says. "They lived together for 6 months."
Stiles shakes his head. "It can't be something obvious, because it seems like Stone didn't know he had it until recently."
"How would he have found out?" Scott asks.
"I don't know. I don't fucking know." Stiles slams his hands down on the steering wheel. "God damn it, I don't understand why he won't help us."
"Let's leave it alone for now," Allison says. "Stone isn't only here for whatever Dr. Deaton has. We're going to have to get rid of him one way or another. So let's work on finding a way."
Stiles spends the lacrosse game in the stands with the others, because he hates sitting on the bench. Besides that, odds are good that if he's on the bench, at some point Finstock will forget that he's supposed to be sitting out and try to tag him in. Scott's in fine form, as is Isaac, but Danny is tense and distracted and doing a fairly lousy job. Jackson gets sent to the bench by the referee after his third foul in the first quarter, and rages so badly that even Finstock seems nervous, and then storms off the field altogether. Danny's able to pull himself together after that, but as behind as they are, and with both Jackson and Stiles off the field, they lose the game 4-2. Nobody goes home happy. Stiles doesn't know what to do about any of this, and it doesn't help that his father has told him there's a preliminary hearing in Harris's case set for the following Wednesday. He's actually beginning to look forward to seeing Gwen again, if only because it'll be an hour that he can swear and bitch and moan all he wants without being judged for it. He's hopeful that Sunday will be a nice, quiet day that he can use to catch up on his schoolwork. That could not possibly be further from what actually happens. Danny calls around 10 to say that Jackson had called him and was coming over to his place. Stiles knows from his little bugs that Jackson is grounded and shouldn't be going anywhere, but he doesn't mention that to Danny, as it won't make any difference. Jackson hasn't said anything to Danny at all about his parents' ultimatum or his visit to the psychologist. Since he's not in a psych ward, Stiles presumes that he was able to convince the psychologist that he's not an immediate danger to anyone else, despite that being obviously untrue. But his parents want him home at all times unless he's in school or at lacrosse practice. Jackson clearly doesn't care what they want. As it turns out, Danny's parents are out of town. His father travels a lot on business, and at the moment is in Hawaii, and decided to take his wife since that's where they're from. They had asked Danny if he wanted to come, but he opted out, telling them that he didn't want to miss the lacrosse game. Danny's 17, and he said he's spent weekends on his own before. But he's obviously nervous that Jackson wanted to come over, rather than go out someplace. About 1 p.m., Stiles gets a text from Danny that reads, "He's working up to something." 10 minutes later, "Things are going downhill fast." Then 5 minutes after that, "I don't think I can stop him." Stiles decides it's past time that they should drive over to Danny's and make sure that everything's okay. Unfortunately, the pack isn't together. Derek's been itching to go to his studio, and for once, he doesn't think Styles would be the best companion. Styles is too tense and edgy, and he would pace and be distracting. So Isaac and Boyd go with him, because they can entertain themselves and not look over his shoulder. Scott and Allison are on a date, leaving Styles with Lydia and Erica, which is certainly his idea of a good day. He makes little fruit tarts while they experiment with makeup and hairstyles, and Lydia talks about the book she's reading right now, which is by Stephen Hawking. It's the kind of surreal experience that only his pack can provide. And for the first time in days, he was starting to relax before Danny started texting. He sends a quick text to Scott, but calls Derek, knowing that if Derek doesn't actually hear his voice, he'll react badly. "Hey," he says, "things don't seem to be going well at Danny's. I'm going to head over. You guys can meet us there." Derek agrees, and he's anxious, but in control. Styles grabs his keys to his stupid rented Honda, and the three of them get in the car. He's the closest to Danny's house, which is in the same gorgeous part of town as Jackson and Lydia's. Styles isn't sure exactly what Danny's father does, but he knows it has something to do with computer software, which explains both why Danny is so good with computers and also why they have such a nice house. The front door is unlocked, and nobody answers when Styles rings the bell, so they go inside. A quick search of the house turns up nothing, but then Lydia points out a window to show that they're in the backyard. Jackson's drawn a large circle on the concrete by the pool in red paint, which has Danny looking like he's about to have apoplexy. As Styles inches the door open silently, he hears Danny say, "Holy shit, Jackson! You can't just... shut up!" Jackson snaps. "I'm trying to concentrate, asshole!" Styles eases out onto the back porch. Jackson is focused on his spell. He doesn't look up. Danny doesn't notice either. Styles reaches for his .38, changes his mind, and goes for the mountain ash instead. Erica and Lydia have both shifted into their partial forms. He'll rely on them to deal out any physical damage that needs to be done. Whatever spell Jackson is doing, it looks bad. The red circle is almost 6 feet wide, and there are a bunch of symbols painted on the inside and the outside. Styles hesitates. He's worried that if he screws with the spell, it'll blow up in all their faces. It might be better to wait and see what the result is, but he's pretty sure that will end in disaster too. That leaves talking Jackson down as the only option that's not practically guaranteed to get everyone killed. And somehow, it seems like the worst of the lot. Looking at Jackson's face as he tells Danny to shut up, Styles knows that they've lost him completely. They've pushed him too far. Jackson resented being adopted, but he was still terrified that these parents would give him up too. Styles had given them a reason to. That was something Jackson would never forgive. His growing moment of indecision is a moment too long. The ground starts to tremble, and inside the circle, it starts to grow. A figure erupts from the ground, shaking off pieces of concrete and dirt as it emerges. It starts only about a foot long, but just gets bigger and bigger as the spell continues to shape it. What's left at the end is a monster that's nearly 20 feet long. It's shaped somewhat like a lizard, a Komodo dragon, but the tail is longer and flexible, whipping around sharply. It has a mouth full of fangs that are black and iridescent, and a tongue of the same color, while its scales are completely white, eyes red. "Holy shit!" Styles blurts out, unable to help it. "Stilinski! You're just in time, you piece of shit!" Jackson says cheerfully. "Where's your boyfriend? On his way, I hope. My friend here has time for all of you." "What the fuck is that thing?" Danny asks, taking a few unsteady steps backwards as the monster continues to shake off the earth it emerged from. "It's mine," Jackson says, gloating. And then he points to Styles and says one word in a twisty language that Styles doesn't know, and the lizard leaps forward. Styles has no time to respond, beyond with what's already in his hand. He throws a handful of mountain ash in the creature's face. It doesn't even slow down. Once it's summoned, it's there. Physical. And the powder to block magic makes no difference to it. Erica leaps over Styles' shoulder and lands right on the lizard's neck, just before its head can impact with Styles' ribs. It throws her off, and she goes skidding across the concrete and into the pool with a splash. It's enough time for Styles to get out his gun, but then he hesitates again. Neighbors will hear shots. If the police come to investigate, then the monster is on him. It knocks him to the ground, slinking forward with astonishing speed. He sees its jaws and thinks, this is gonna hurt. But then there's a tremendous roar and Derek arrives, fully shifted. He stands protectively over Styles and growls at the beast. It doesn't make any difference, but the impact of Boyd and Isaac against its side does. They go down into a heap of snarling, twisting flesh. Styles hears a yip and feels a sharp pain through his leg, although he knows it isn't his, and scrambles to his feet. Stay down, you idiot! Lydia shouts at him before she dives into the fray. The lizard stands up on its back legs like Godzilla and shakes the wolves loose. They go scattering in every direction. Jackson laughs, delighted, and then points at Styles again, repeating himself in that strange language. But the monster turns and charges him instead. Jackson goes white and stumbles backwards, still shouting. But it doesn't slow the creature down at all. There's a twang from the back porch, and an arrow lodges in the monster's shoulder. It roars in pain and thrashes for a moment, but it doesn't slow down very much. Jackson just stands there, a bewildered, lost look on his face. Like he can't quite understand what's happening. Styles knows exactly what's happening. The only question is whether the creature will grab Jackson in its jaws and shake, or simply smash him aside with the force of that long, flexible neck. It goes for the latter. The head swoops to one side, and then back towards Jackson, who isn't there anymore. Danny is. Danny, who has been standing just as frozen as Jackson, suddenly leaps forward and pushes Jackson down on his ass. The broadside of the monster's head hits him and sends him flying. He hits the stone wall on the other side of the yard with so much force that even the humans present can hear his bones breaking, then drops to the ground and lies there unmoving. Jackson screams, so does Lydia, and then she jumps on the creature, her jaws sinking down into the flesh on the underside of its neck. The scales are hard, tough, but Styles knows she gets through because dark green blood splashes down onto the concrete. Scott, he shouts, running over to Danny. Scott is beside him moments later. Blood of the more traditional color stains the pavement around Danny's unconscious body. Oh, fuck, Scott breathes out when he sees the extent of the damage. They hear another splash. Lydia has gone into the pool. Styles looks up as he feels her presence flickering at the end of their bond. She's unconscious, sinking. Isaac dives in after her, grabbing her around the waist and towing her back to the surface. Boyd leans over to heave them out, but the lizard's tail whips out and he winds up in the water as well. How bad is it? Styles asks, but he can see how bad it is. He can see that the back of Danny's head is covered in blood, see the trickle coming out of his mouth. Internal bleeding for sure, Scott says, pressing down lightly on Danny's abdomen. Jesus, I think his skull is probably fractured. Styles, I don't think... Derek is fighting the monster one-on-one now. He has far more experience than the rest of them, moving and dodging the creature's blows, but never really able to land one of his own, either. Styles curses and crawls across the pavement. He grabs Jackson by the ear and shouts, "Do you know how to get rid of it?" Stunned, shaken, Jackson stammers, It's supposed to obey commands. Fuck, Styles bites out. The others have managed to climb out of the pool and come to Derek's assistance, except for Lydia, who's still unconscious, and Isaac, who's standing over her protectively. Allison is still on the porch, but she can't take a shot with the wolves tangled up with it, and Scott is staying with Danny, trying to stop the bleeding from the gash on the back of his head. There's no time to call Deaton for help, if he would even come. Derek, he shouts. Get Allison a shot. Everyone else, get clear.
Derek glances at him, then charges forward, running underneath the lizard. The other wolves just jump in every direction, trying to get out of the way. Derek tumbles, one paw coming up to swipe at the monster's tender belly. It gives a roar that's almost a scream and turns. There's a sharp twang and an arrow lodges directly in the monster's eye. It goes deep, so deep that only a few inches of the arrow are left visible. The monster lurches forward and collapses right on top of Derek. Fuck! Stiles says again. But Boyd is already there, grunting with effort as he heaves the body of the monster off Derek. He crawls out, covered in dark green blood, but alive and basically uninjured. The creature shudders, but doesn't get up again. And a moment later, it goes still. Stiles makes a number of mental notes in rapid succession. 1. Congratulate Allison later on her aim. 2. It's barely 50 degrees out, and the water is probably even colder, so the wolves are risking hypothermia and need to get out of their wet clothes. 3. He has no idea who to call for personal murder lizard corpse disposal. And 4. Most importantly, Danny is in a fuckload of trouble. Call an ambulance, he barks out, and Allison grabs her cell phone, since almost everyone else with one took a dive into the pool. Scott shakes his head and whispers, Stiles, I don't think he'll make it. He must have hit the wall going 30 miles an hour. His head has practically been cracked in half. Derek, Stiles shouts, and Derek is by his side a moment later. We're gonna turn him.
That could kill him, Derek begins.
Yeah, well, doing nothing definitely will, Stiles says, but then he hesitates.
Jackson, he shouts. Danny's unconscious. He's dying, you fuckwit, and we need to do something about it. We're not supposed to turn anyone without consent. You know him better than us. What do you want me to do?
Jackson swallows, and then looks down at Danny's face, slack and unconscious, and the crimson blood staining the concrete and all over Scott's hands.
Do it, he whispers.
And you understand that he'll belong to me? Stiles presses. That he'll be part of my pack. That he'll be mine and not yours.
Do it! Jackson screams.
Stiles grabs Derek by the hand and Derek's eyes flare from silvery blue to crimson red. He sinks his teeth into Danny's forearm. The teenager lets out a weak little cry, returning to some semblance of consciousness. Then they hear sirens.
Fuck, this is bad. What do we tell them?
Scott asks, his voice shaking. Stiles looks up and around, taking in their surroundings. He sees a balcony on the third floor and points.
There. He fell. We were goofing around up there. He tried to do a flip, and he fell and landed down here. We called 911. Everyone who isn't me, Jackson or Scott, get into the house and go up to the second floor. Get your wet clothes off and steal some towels to dry off.
He looks at Jackson. Can you do a glamour?
An illusion spell?
Jackson asks, but then nods.
Yeah, I think so.
Good. Then your job is to keep the paramedics from noticing the gigantic lizard corpse on the other side of the yard, because otherwise we be fucked. Can you do that?
Jackson nods and swallows. The wolves hasten to obey, jogging into the house and up the stairs.
Stiles trains his attention back on Danny. The bond won't really form for hours yet, and the healing won't kick in until sometime after that. But if the hospital can keep him alive that long, he'll make a full recovery.
Scott, call Deaton, he says. He told me that he has contacts at the hospital. We're going to need them. I'm sorry if he's still pissed at me, but tell him an innocent life is in the balance.
Scott nods and grabs his phone. And then the paramedics are there. Jackson holds his own well. His spell is shaky enough that Stiles can still see the monster. But the paramedics aren't looking for it and are far more focused on Danny, so they don't see it at all. Scott goes in the ambulance with Danny. Jackson moves as if to go, but Stiles grabs him by the arm.
No, he says quietly. You are coming with me. You are going in a mountain ash circle until I figure out what to do with you. Rage flickers back onto Jackson's face. I'm going with Danny. He's my friend. He's nearly dead because of you. Styles snaps. You have to be contained before you do any more damage. It's a mountain ash circle, or I swear to God, I will put a bullet in your brain and leave your body here with the monsters. Take your pick. Jackson's face twists in anguish. He swallows and says, I'll go with you. Good choice, Styles says. He goes into the house, his hand still locked around Jackson's wrist. Allison, he says, as the others come down from where they've been hiding on the second floor. Call your dad. He's got to know somebody who can come clean this mess up. We'll pay whatever we need to get it looking normal again so Danny's parents don't find out about this. Allison nods and turns away, fumbling for her phone. Styles continues, We're heading back to my place. We'll get Jackson inside a mountain ash circle, and then I'll be going to the hospital to see Danny. Yes, Lydia, you can come too, he says before she can ask. What about Jackson's parents? Erica asks. They're just going to have to wonder where he is for a while, Styles says. I don't want him contacting them. We'll take his phone. I'm standing right here, Jackson snaps. Shut up, Styles replies, not even looking at him. You're going to be lucky if you get motherfucking bathroom breaks. Now, I'm going to let your arm go. You are going to walk with me out to my car. You're going to do it willingly because I don't want Danny's neighbors seeing me dragging you around. Is that clear? Jackson clenches his jaw, but then nods. They all go out to the car together. Styles sticks close to him, but he does as he's told. In the Stalinsky house, they move the furniture around to again clear some space in the living room. Styles decides to take pity on Jackson, more because he doesn't want the other teenager pissed off at him when they're getting through to him, than because he actually feels bad. He puts Jackson inside the circle with a gallon bottle of water, a box of crackers and a couple apples, and the remote to the television and DVD player. After a moment to consider, he adds one of the beanbag chairs, a pillow, and a blanket in case he wants to sleep. I want two people watching him at all times, he says. You'll have to work it out amongst yourselves. Don't answer the door. Don't answer the phone. Keep the curtains drawn. I don't want anyone seeing him in here. Lydia, Derek, you're with me. He hesitates. Allison, you too. You can drive Scott home. He won't want to hang around the hospital all day. The others hasten to go with him. Derek decides to go as a human, so he'll be able to talk, but brings his vest just in case. When they get to the hospital, Scott reports that Danny has been taken into surgery, but Deaton has talked to the doctors, so they won't be surprised if things take unusual turns. Allison gets a text message from her father and tells Styles that things at the Mahalani house are being taken care of. He says, "Tell your dad I owe him one," and Allison nods and leaves with Scott on her arm. Barely a minute later, they've just settled into chairs in the waiting room when Deaton comes out of the back. He sees them and looks away for a moment, but then walks towards them. Styles gets to his feet as he approaches. He rubs a hand over the back of his head. I'm sorry about the other day. No, you're not, Deaton says with a faint smile. And you shouldn't be. He hesitates. Your friend is in very serious condition. They don't know whether or not he's going to make it. Let's talk about this later, after we know, okay? Styles nods. Okay, he says. Deaton puts a hand on his shoulder and squeezes for a moment, then turns to walk away. At the last minute, he half turns back and says, It's a bullet. What? Styles asks, taken off guard. What Stone wants. It's the bullet that nearly killed him when he was 6 years old. Without another word, Deaton turns and leaves the hospital.